Shall I pray as we have a think about this? Heavenly Father, glorious Son, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would be with us now. Help us to know you and to trust you and to love you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, boys and girls, I was reading a story with me recently, and I wondered if I can share it with you. It was from a lady, and here's what she said. She said, "You Christians seem to believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible." That's what Sally muttered to herself one day. She'd moved to a new church recently. She loved how quickly she felt as part of the church family, but she couldn't help thinking there was something missing. It was hard for her to put her finger on the problem, but somehow the Holy Spirit seemed a little bit kind of absent. Because perhaps it was the way he was, or rather wasn't, really spoken about very much. Perhaps it was because people were cautious about spiritual gifts, or maybe people were just hesitant about any sort of personal or emotional involvement. She noticed that, well, the prayer meetings were largely avoided. It seemed like people didn't really believe the Holy Spirit had much of a role to pray anymore. Practically speaking, it was like he'd been forgotten. It's taken from an article I was reading recently, but I wonder if it could be written of many churches today. Each week, we say we believe in God, the Trinity, don't we? That we believe in one God, who exists as three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Each fully and equally divine. And one of the wonderful bits about the book of Acts, where we're looking at today, is that the focus is not just on one of them or some of them, but on the work of all three persons in this perfect, brilliant unity. And so we're taking a break from our little series in 1 Peter today, but we're very much continuing the series. We're thinking about what kind of a church does God want us to be? And as we step into Acts chapter 2, we see that God's Holy Spirit is massively at work as he flips on the floodlights pointing at Jesus and sends us to tell the word about him. Here's our first heading. Houston, we have liftoff. In fact, let me read it again. See if you can get where I'm going. It says this in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. That's all of Jesus' followers. Suddenly, a noise came from heaven. It sounded like a strong wind blowing. This noise filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw something that looked like flames, a fire that separated and stood on each person, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, did any of you see this on TV? Back in April, NASA launched the rocket called, Artemis 2, sending it all the way around the moon. Did you see this, kids? Did you hear about it? It was this amazing moment when the crew were launched from their home in this incredible adventure to do something no one had ever done before. It was an incredible opportunity, but only four very specially trained people were allowed to be involved. Here they are. They look friendly, don't they? Do you know, on the day of Pentecost, the day we just read about that in the Bible, is a bit like liftoff for us. It's not the beginning of the church, but it's like its launch, if you like. Jesus had risen from the dead, and he'd spent 40 days getting his friends ready to take the good news to the world. But then he was taken to heaven, and they were told to wait for the Holy Spirit. And now he has arrived, and he's given us liftoff. Not to outer space, but out, out, out to all the world. That's our church. Richard, I haven't got a faculty yet, but I'm going to get one, mate. All right, don't worry. Just like the jet power of those rockets, God says that's what the Holy Spirit does in you and in me. In fact, here's verse 2. Let me read it again. Verse 2 says, a noise filled the whole house, and Jesus' friends saw what looked like flames of fire. The third person of the Trinity shows up and it changes everything. Not in some weird way, but in a wonderful way. Not in a pointless way, but in a powerful, purposeful, personal way. Verse 3 says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak different languages. The Holy Spirit was giving them the power to speak these languages. Now, we're going to play a game for a second. And it might be a game that we need some of our older teens to help us with as well. We're going to play a game. I'm going to put some words on the screen, and I want you guys to tell me which language they are written in. Okay? So here's the first one. You've got the options down the side. Boys and girls, which language is this written in? What do you reckon? Italian is for Chris's guess? Incorrect. It's not Spanish. Amos, what is it? French. It's not French. It's not English. We'd say Jesus Christ, wouldn't we? Okay. German! It's German! Phew. Okay, let's keep going. Okay. Go on. Amari. Spanish. It's not Spanish. French. Abner? You lived in this country, mate. Italian! Yes! Here we go. Okay. Oh, Irina! Which language is this? Russian, yes. I tried to pick one that people would might have a connection to. Okay, let's keep going. What language is this? Spanish, yes. It is Chinese. Well, it's Mandarin, if you want to be, you know, get it absolutely right. Okay, here we go.
English.
French. It's the little accent on the E there. Okay, here we go. Hebrew, it's not Hebrew. What do we reckon? Terry? It's Welsh. Okay, we're almost there. It's Japanese. I have to check this with Marlborough because there are two versions of how you say this in Hebrew. I don't speak any of the Hebrew. Yeah, that's Hebrew. Okay. English. God the Holy Spirit comes and he gives the church lift off by helping them to share the good news of Jesus in every language you can imagine. Rather than sitting around, the men and women, the boys and girls are set to take the good news to every single nation. We're going to think a bit more about that in a moment. But we're going to sing another song. And welcome back to our true story for the Bible as we think about the second part and how the Holy Spirit shows up with power and launches the church into the world. We're going to pick up the story again, and here's our second heading. We'll never hear anything more beautiful. Grown-ups, there are headings on the church training news sheet, if that would help you. Have a look at the Bible again, and let's see what I mean. See, verse 12 to 13. So the other people saw what God was doing. It wasn't hidden away, and they were Well, it says they were amazed and confused. And so in verse 14, Peter stood up to speak in a loud voice. Peter spoke to the crowd, "My fellow Jews, and all of you who are in Jerusalem, listen to me. Pay attention to what I have to say." Boys and girls, whoa, hold on. Just check that again. Did you see who's speaking? It's Peter. Just a few weeks before, Peter was the guy who wouldn't even admit he knew Jesus when a servant girl asked him on Good Friday. And yet here he is, publicly standing up and calling everyone to listen to him. The Holy Spirit must be really powerfully at work. And what does Peter say? He says that God's promises have come true and will never hear anything more beautiful. You see verses 17 to 21 there. They're a quote from the Old Testament. They're the first part of the Bible. They're a reminder of the promise God had made to send his Holy Spirit to be at work in us, to help us live as his people, to help us go to all his worlds. He's speaking to Jews, and Peter says, "Hey guys, you know what God promised. You know he's the promise-making, promise-keeping God. Well, in Jesus, all his promises have come true." Think about the church as a rocket again, except this time, imagine it's not a rocket going out somewhere else, but a rocket coming in to us. Peter uses the language of Joel to claim there's a new era that's begun. It's like the future has broken into the present, and God is calling you and me to be part of his plan. Yeah, see, Joel looked forward to a time when all of God's people would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter says, well, that's come. That's true for every person trusting Jesus since the cross and resurrection and Pentecost. God is at work transforming his people to live and speak for him. And so, boys and girls, grown-ups too, will you ask him to keep helping and changing you, that more and more we might live and speak for King Jesus? There was a great preacher called John Stott who said this: because we know him, we must make him known. Because we know him, we must make him known. And just check out verse 21 as we close. Here's the final verse. And did you hear the invitation God makes to us there? It says that anyone who asks the Lord for help will be... That was my test to see if you were listening. And anyone who asks the Lord for help will be...
Saved.
And when the world feels so uncertain and we feel surrounded by bad news at every turn, the church is entrusted with good news. And our world will never hear anything more beautiful than the truth that Jesus Christ is a willing saviour for sinful people like us. As we speak God's words to his world, people will be saved. And the Bible's clear. Actually, the Bible's really clear that on the day when Jesus returns, it will be too late to turn back. It'll be too late for people to realise their mistake. It'll be too late to try and change teams. It'll be too late to accept his salvation. And so let me ask you, grown-ups, let me ask you, boys and girls, as well, when was the last time you spoke about Jesus to someone? When was the last time you invited someone to come and hear more, to open a Bible and look for themselves? See, God's offer is still there today. And as the Holy Spirit gets to work in us, Well, you and I get to pass on the best invitation. People will never hear news that is more beautiful, that Jesus Christ is a willing saviour for sinful people like us. Now, I'm going to give you a moment, and then I'm going to pray. Two things to chat with the people beside you on. What's the one big thing Jesus wants you to know or remember today? What's one way that could or should make a difference? Let me give you 2 minutes to maybe chat with the person beside you, and then I'll pray, and I've got something for you to keep your hands busy with.